Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right now, joining us to talk high school football, you see him on TV, you hear him on the radio, and I wanted to pick his brain about the games he did last weekend, the games he's got coming up this weekend. John Bazico, Opa, joining us today. How are you, Opa?
Good, Kenny. I wanted to tell you the flu isn't going to get me this year. There's a mutual respect there between the flu and I, and I don't think that it's going to lead to me getting the flu. Okay. We had a talk last night, and just after our talk, we decided I'm not going to get the flu this year. So mutual respect there, you know.
Well, you know what? That says a lot about you that the flu respects you and you respect it. So God bless you both.
It's a Greek thing. It's a Greek thing.
Opa! There you go. It started in the Greek islands, Gus would say. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're going to be healthy then. All right, go back to last week, Opa, and forgive me for not remembering which games you did. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. So take me back to the games you did last weekend.
Yeah, Friday we had McKinley-Brunswick on TV. Not the game that many people expected it to be. McKinley kind of laid an egg in that game and lost 27-14. Just could never really get anything going all game. And then Saturday on the stream, I did Northwest against Girard, and the Indians were very impressive, despite the fact that Jordan Mick got a little nicked up in the second half. You know, they were really, really impressive on Saturday, putting up 52 points in a win over Girard.
What type of an injury did he end up with, John?
It was a little finger injury. I'm pretty sure it was like dislocated or something like that, and he was still able to play the second half, just wasn't able to throw as effectively as before. My guess is that he'll be okay this week. I'm not sure what the normal like recovery time is for that, but it was on his throwing hand. And obviously they kept it hush as the game was going along in the second half and, probably keeping it hush now during the week, but obviously it's not anymore because people know and people are aware of it. But we'll see how that affects them. They play a good team this week in Cleveland East Shaw.
All right, I want to go back to the McKinley game because you and I were texting before the game started. Somebody texted me and said, hey, Roadman, not good news for McKinley that Manny Powell's not going to play. He's dinged up. And I texted you, and then you were hearing the same thing. How much did that affect McKinley?
Yeah, I think it affected them quite a bit. The handful of times that Brunswick was able to successfully run the football, there were holes that were just giant there. There was nobody there to take care of that. Their quarterback always had a pretty decent amount of time to throw. I mean, anytime you lose a kid, Kenny, who's an all-Ohio type player like a Manny Powell, who's going to play in the MAC at the next level, and depending on how good of an offseason he has, he could even see himself at a small Big Ten school. So it's a case of where anytime you're missing a kid like that on the defensive line, you don't have Harold Fannin on the back end, who's also a D1 prospect at safety. They're just banged up, and they had been for the better part of the second half of the year. They didn't have Xavier Black at wide receiver, their Toledo commit. So, you know, that's three Division I kids not on the field Friday night, Kenny, and obviously it had a huge effect on them. It changed the way their offense functioned, and their defense had trouble stopping Brunswick throughout the night. The turning point in that game, though, if I may, was early in the game. Elijah Wesley was looking towards the left sideline on a pass and threw it expecting his guy to be there, and no one was there. And the only person that was in the vicinity was a Brunswick kid, and he took it back for a pick six early on in the game. And that momentum that Brunswick built there, you could tell McKinley kind of was shell-shocked at home the rest of the night after that point.
All right, so their season comes to an end to Brunswick, who playing with heavy hearts. They lost one of their assistant coaches, former head coach Tom Fasco. So they're using that, you know, to fuel them to try and win it for Coach Fasco. So I knew it was going to be a tough game for McKinley, and losing three out of your last four injuries or not, that's not the way to close the season. So it'll be an interesting offseason, you know, to say the least, for McKinley. But getting back to Northwest, John, is this a team, in your opinion, under Coach DeMarco? And Brian, I think we're having him on tomorrow on the show, correct, John DeMarco?
Yeah, you guys are having him on.
Okay. Are they legit state contenders, in your opinion?
I think they are. And the only
you hesitated
reason,
a little bit.
I did. Tell me. Yeah, the only reason that I say that is that last week when they did have the passing game go away, the running, as impressive as it was kind of one-dimensional what they were doing. It was a lot of just QB draws and QB keeps to the outside. And obviously they blocked really well, so it worked effectively. But I'm just not sure if that happens to them again, how they react to that the second time. They're going to need to pass the ball effectively to beat teams as they move along in the playoffs. The other thing for me that is a question mark for them is none of those kids have really ever experienced a playoff run before, so everything is kind of new for them. Jordan Mick obviously was at Hoban, did experience right. it there, but you know, you take Jordan off of the team and the experience is pretty minimal on kids who've experienced a postseason run. I just think that it's going to come down to how healthy can they stay. If they can stay healthy, that region that they're in, last year they were in Region 14, which produced the state champion. And this year, who knows? Maybe they could be in the region that produces the state champion, because I do believe they're the best team in that region. They have to watch out for Mentor Lake Catholic, who beat South this past week, and they'd get them yeah. next weekend. And then West Branch would probably be waiting at the end of that region for them. So it's not an easy region to get through, but it's very possible that they could get through it.
All right, so those are the games you did last week. What do you have this weekend as far as games Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, Friday we have Dublin-Scioto at Perry, and then Saturday we have Central at Norwayne on the stream.
Okay, let's start with Perry on Friday night, D2 Region 7. We're all hoping for that Perry-Maslin matchup for the second straight year in the playoffs eventually. What about this matchup, first of all, for Keith Wakefield and the boys on Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that they have to feel good about this matchup. Just looking at the general notes, one comparable score to go by. Perry beat Canal Winchester last week 42-0, and Dublin-Scioto beat them just 28-21 earlier in the year. So if you're a comparable score kind of guy, that obviously bodes right. well. Their lone loss in Scioto came to Westerville South, who is still undefeated. They're the 2 seed or the 3 seed in that district. They would play Maslin next week should Maslin win against Hoover on Friday, and it's not a mystery to them what Perry is going to do. They have played Perry before when Keith Wakefield was the coach there. Actually, these two coaches have met before, Kenny, and the last time they did it was in 2002 in the playoffs, and Perry won that game 7-3. So if that's any indication to how Dublin-Scioto plans to look at this game, I think they understand what Perry is going to do. They understand the wing tee. They understand it's going to be a hard thing to defend. The big thing, I guess, in Keith's favor is that, you know, he knows that it's always a new thing for kids, and you can't simulate it during the week. You can't get your kids to completely understand it. And to be quite honest with you, they have an all-Ohio type of kid. They have a Mr. Ohio candidate in, you know, Josh Lemon this year. 1,400 yards, and I think it's 17 touchdowns, and just continues to rack up numbers. Reminds me of Keyshawn Sims, maybe on a less high note from a couple of years ago, but you know, he's having that same type of year. He's their feature back. He's quick. He makes plays. And you know, the question becomes, how well does Dublin adapt to playing a run first offense that they probably haven't seen all year?
All right, let's turn our attention then to your Saturday game. Break that one down for me.
So Central obviously went 1-5 in the regular season. They played a meat grinder schedule for a reason. They knew what they were doing. But Trucker feels now that you know, the defense is really starting to improve. He feels that that's where they're making their biggest strides. Feels they're starting to put four quarters together a little bit more regularly. They beat Tuskegee Valley in week one of the playoffs, beat a good United team last week that he said had a big offensive line, was senior laden, had some athletes, so really felt good about that win. The other thing for them coming to the year was Jack Talkington, their sophomore quarterback, who was kind of the question mark entering the year. Anytime you enter the year with a sophomore quarterback, you always wonder how quickly is his maturation process going to happen, especially this year, Kenny. That's the thing that gets me about this year is, for a team like Central, for a kid like that, this is probably just his 8th varsity start that he's really seen significant time. So he's literally learning on the fly as they're going. And you know, for some teams, you might look at this and say, oh, well, this is week 8. They should be, you know, clicked in at this point. But, you know, a lot of teams are still figuring things out right now. They really are. They're still trying to, you know, get things going. This will be his 9th start, I should say. But, you know, they're trying to figure things out. And the big thing with Norwayne is that they just put up a lot of points. 46-7, they beat teams on that average. I looked up the notes. In the second and third quarters this year, Kenny, they've outscored their opponents 184-12. So that's where it's going to be the key for Central, is how do they manage those middle quarters? How do they handle the onslaught of offense that they have? Because their quarterback, Nate Bitske, he's really good. 69% completion percentage, 19 touchdowns to 2 picks. He will make the night a long one for them if they aren't careful. Plus, it's over at Norwayne, so something else to keep in mind going on the road again.
All right, John, I want to get to the other games, even though you're not doing them, get your input, your thoughts on it. Maslin and Hoover, that's the one we're doing. Starshield Ford Radio Game of the Week on Friday night, 7 o'clock, Mix 94-1 and WHBC. Maslin obviously going to be the favorite, but you talk about the triplets, Robinson, Henny, and, of course, Connor Ashby, who's in the running for Stark County Player of the Year, going up against a Maslin defense that's giving up, I think, at about 7 points a game this year against a meat grinder of a schedule as well. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, really the key becomes there is how well does Connor Ashby go against that defense. I know that that may seem obvious to a lot of people, but how much time is he given? How well can Robinson run the football to open up the passing game for them? There is no doubt to the fact that Hoover has weapons. I mean, Henny is a great weapon. Robinson's a great weapon. Zach Young's a pretty good weapon on the outside as well. Bo Bircher's just as effective as some of the other guys they have on that roster. The key just becomes how well are they able to function outside of the passing game to allow Connor Ashby to play at a high level. If he doesn't have time, if he's not able to sit back there and make throws and they make his life miserable, which they've done for most quarterbacks this year, their defensive ends, Maslin's defensive ends, and Woolard and Mike Miller on both sides are just unbelievable, and their coverage is just so great. They have two Division I kids that can play in coverage, three if you count Martavian Johnson as well, but Andrew Wilson-Lamp is back there, Jaden Ballard can play back there, Martavian Johnson, the linebackers are sound. It comes down to this is the biggest test that Connor Ashby has faced in his high school career that he will face. How does he handle this test, and how does he handle getting punched in the mouth maybe that first time by that Maslin defense? That'll be the real question. How does he respond when Maslin kind of punches him in the mouth? Will he come back, or will Maslin be too much for Hoover, and will they not have enough weapons to make that a game?
Interesting thing, in talking with Nate Moore yesterday on the show, and when I usually ask Nate, you know, about the teams they're going to play in that, he'll give me numbers. You know, 56 is good, 12 is good, the quarterback is good. Well, he singled out Connor Ashby and talked about him in glowing ways. And so that tells me that he has their attention. For Nate to, you know, talk about his ability to scramble, to run, to buy time, to throw the football. He knew about him as the punter, running fake punts and everything like that. That tells me that Hoover and Ashby have Maslin's attention. Not that they're afraid of him, John. Don't get me wrong. They're not, okay? But that they respect him as an athlete and as a quarterback. And he may be, John, I'm trying to think, he may be one of, if not the best quarterback they have faced this year, because Ignatius and Ed's quarterback stunk this year.
Yeah, not good quarterbacks on either of those teams, really. I'm thinking through the rest of their schedule. Benedictine's quarterback is fair. Warren's quarterback is fair.
He was supposed to be good, but he wasn't in that game.
Yeah, and then, you know, in the case of Elijah Wesley, obviously, you know, they just made his life a living hell other than that first play.
Right.
You know, I really think that you make a good point there. You know, to compare Connor Ashby to someone, he's kind of like Patrick Mahomes at the high school level, because he does extend plays, because he does have that backyard football element to him. If the ball's in his hands and there's pressure coming after him, he finds a way to make a play. I mean, if you look at film on him throughout his 3 years that he's been a starter, that's what he has always done. He is so poised in the pocket. No matter what's coming at him, no matter how much pressure there is coming his way, he's always found a way to get his guys open and throw them open. And the question becomes, against probably the best defense he's ever faced in his high school career, how does he handle that? How does he handle that first time that adversity smacks him in the mouth? There's no doubt he's probably the best quarterback in the county this year. I mean, you could make that argument between him, Cam Blair, Jordan Mick. Those are your three guys.
Yes.
You know, and Connor Ashby has just done it at such a high level all year, and he's just so efficient. Does that continue against Maslin is the big question.
Yeah, and here's the thing, John. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's a good game, but I think Hoover has to play a perfect. They have to go Villanova Georgetown on the football field. They can't turn it over. They need to create some turnovers because they're on the road. And Maslin, I mean, they've been in the state championship game the last 2 years for a reason. So it's got to be a perfect game for Hoover to try and pull off the upset and the win there. Real quick here, Sandy Valley on the road at Kirtland. They met last year. They scared the crap out of Kirtland, who went on to win the D5 state championship. My concern this year is the defense of Sandy Valley and the fact that Kirtland now has had an opportunity to face that offense last year, and they know what they're up against with Cam Blair.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously think those are concerns. Those are big things to worry about. And Kirtland is a year better, too. They were young at spots last year, and some of those kids returned from an already state championship team, plus just having Tiger Laverty on the sideline is an advantage in and of itself. You know, the key to me in that game is how much does Cam Blair, how much does Sandy Valley want that? That's the same place that they were at last year. They've won two playoff games this year. That's the best that any Sandy Valley team has ever done in a playoff era system. You know, how much do they want this? How much do they want to go up there and avenge the loss that they had last year? Because last year, a lot of what was done, the coaches at Sandy Valley felt that Kirtland couldn't stop them and what they did offensively. So, you know, not a lot has changed in that offense in the offseason. Yes, Kirtland has seen it, but they didn't really prove last year at any point that they could stop it. And Cam Blair is a year older. He's a year better. He's a year stronger. He's all of those things. I do think there are a lot of red flags in that game for Sandy simply because Kirtland, you know, is as effective as they are. And hell, they beat Solon this year, Kenny, a Division I team. Right. So, you know, I mean, this might be the best Kirtland team that they've ever faced. It just so happens that it also happens to be on the year that Sandy Valley has their best player in school history, which is just the unfortunate part of all of it.
And congratulations, by the way, to Cam Blair, all-time leading passer in yards and touchdowns in Stark County history this year. Over 100 touchdown passes, over 8,500 yards now, John, or something like that. He set the record a week or two ago, so an outstanding career for him. And nothing would be finer than to upset the defending state champs for him and keep the season going.
Yeah, past Hunter Wells, the quarterback who played at Fairless. Have a career at Youngstown State, too, for Bo Pelini for a couple years.
Last one, real quick. St. Thomas Aquinas on the road at New Middleton Springfield. Asian Burt, one of our Sarshone Ford Players of the Week. Is he enough in this game for the 9 seed to knock off the 1 seed?
It's a great question, and I think, again, it's a road game for St. Thomas. They've played a very tough schedule all year. They've played up. They played Canton South this year. They played a tough Warren JFK team who is in Division 7, but they're probably more of a D4 team on the field with how talented they are. You know, they've played up all year, but last year, New Middletown Springfield was in the Division 6 state championship game and lost to Anna, a team from the MAC. So, you know, that team returned a lot from last year. They were junior late in getting there last year. It's going to be the best team that St. Thomas has played all year. I don't know that one Asian Burt is enough to beat, 20 sound athletes. I think that's the problem that you're dealing with here is that New Middletown Springfield is just sound at every position, whereas Asian Burt, you know, an individual can be great, and he's definitely going to make some plays, but at the end of the day, how many plays can one kid make over the course of 48 minutes of a football game?
All right, last question for you, and we'll let you go. John Bazika joining us here. How many teams, in your opinion, are legit state championship, at least to get to the state title game? I don't know about winning it, but at least getting to the state title game. How many teams out of the, 6, 7 teams that are left in Stark County?
I would say Massillon is number one, because they've been there the past 2 years. They have a lot of people are saying that in the modern era, that could be the best defense they've ever had. I've heard some people compare it to McKinley's 1981 defense with how dominant
stop.
It is.
Stop. Don't
I've
tell
heard
me.
That.
No.
I've heard
no,
that.
No, don't even. No, stop, because they gave up like 20 points the whole year. Okay? Rick Worstell has told me about that. So as good as this defense is, don't compare it to that one. They gave up like 20 points the entire year. This is good, but it's in the 50s already. That's double what that McKinley defense gave.
Yeah, they
so I'm gonna stick up for the – and that was a state championship team in the playoff era. So until they do that, don't compare it to that state championship defense of McKinley in 81.
It was 32 points all year. They did have a great defense that year.
Okay, 30. My bad. I thought it was 29. My bad.
I wanted to get one in at Rick on that.
Yeah.
And then Northwest is right up there for me. I think obviously with all the athletes that they have and with Jordan Mick leading the charge for them, anything is possible. I do think Perry could do it. The question I have is the same question we always have with Perry, which is once they meet a team that has athletic wide receivers, once they meet a team that can, you know, stop their run game and kind of hold them in check, like I think Maslin would probably be capable of, how do they handle that? How do they handle that adversity, having to pass the ball a handful of times? The two times they met LaSalle in the state title game, it was their Achilles heel. They could not pass the ball. Yep. They could not get the ball downfield. As good as that run game is, at some point, some team is going to be able to stop it because they're going to have a better defense. And then I'll throw this out there, too, about another team on Saturday. I think St. Thomas and Central are both dangerous only because they have played up all year. Again, but I don't know how long that can take them before they meet a team that is genuinely just better than them. So, you know, I don't know who's going to be that team. I don't know how quickly that's going to be. It could be this weekend. But, you know, because they played up all year, because they are so talented for that division, those records that they had in the regular season kind of getting off to slow starts, those are anomalies when you look at that division, because most of the teams in that division play Division VI teams. Central plays Division I, Division II, Division III. They play that every single week. So they're used to a high level of competition.
Yeah, without question. Well, let's hope all seven win this weekend, so we've got more games to do the following weekend. I'm with you. I still think Maslin has the best chance of getting there. The problem is Akron Hoban may be the best team in the state regardless of division, looking at who they've played and defeated already. And that would be a fun, fun opportunity to get Perry and Maslin again in the playoffs after last year's 35-7 beatdown by Maslin over Perry. So we'll see what happens if those two play again. When would that be, John? When would those two meet?
Yeah, that would be not this coming weekend, not this weekend, not the weekend after this, but then that would be the first weekend in November, I believe, that those two would meet.
All right, so we're keeping our fingers crossed for that. And should Maslin go on, you want to see them play Hoban in a state title game to have the second go-around of that. But let's send out good luck to Perry, Maslin, Hoover, Northwest, Sandy Valley, St. Thomas, and Central. And again, WHBCSports.com. If you have any questions about which games we're doing, where they're at, how you can watch and listen to them, go to WHBCSports.com. John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. And we'll talk again next week. All right, bud?
Sounds good. Thanks, Ken. Stay safe.
All right, you too, my friend. Opa! John Bazika checking in with us here on the Kenny and JT Show.